Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into episode number 632 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the city of Vineland. And we're fucking live. We're live again. It's been a while since we've done one of these live. I know that's the norm, but life and things happen where we haven't been able to do it live. But guess what? Fuck it. We'll do it live. We're live on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, and the video version of this will be up tomorrow on the YouTube. But what up, everybody? We are here. It's KB coming at you from Underground Studios, and joining me, as he has been and filling in admirably, as I mentioned on episode number 630 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, which you should totally go listen to because I was absolutely tired and delirious and got vulnerable and opened up about everything with Underground Sports and how we're not going anywhere. It's the host with the most and the people's champ, Mr. Patty Pitts.
Oh, what's popping, KB, all my underground peeps? It's good to be back. We got some playoff sports on the television. We're putting away the nonsense for now because we got to talk about all the nonsense going on in Philly.
We got a lot going on. We got a lot going on here. And some good, some bad, some in between, and we'll talk all about it. But before we do, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at Underground PHI on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. And since we haven't mentioned this on a live show, since we haven't been live since we made the account, we are on LinkedIn. We're going to start posting on there very soon, but go follow our page. Just search Underground Sports Philadelphia on LinkedIn. Connect with me. I'm on there. We're testing the waters and making some things. I got to find you on LinkedIn.
It says that I work at All Dry Services.
Unreal.
Does not say that I sell the fish just yet.
We gotta say that you work at Underground Sports Philadelphia too.
I know you guys weren't on there when I first created it. So.
We are on there now. So connect with us on LinkedIn. We've been doing some fun stuff and just like testing the waters about new ways to grow a new audience. You know who's hella active and just posts on LinkedIn like it's Twitter?
Who?
The man, the myth, the legend that is Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport.
Does he really?
All of his posts about breaking news updates and contract signings and stuff. Does it on LinkedIn too?
He's fucking everywhere.
He's awesome. I love Rap Sheet. But yeah, check us out on LinkedIn. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads. And you can also check out my own personal YouTube channel if you so choose, where I'm just testing the waters even more with content and very inspired by the morning meeting with John Boy. And that's what I'm hoping to kind of navigate with that channel, but it is at UndergroundKB, youtube.com/@UndergroundKB. Follow Patty Pitts on Twitter at @Pat_Pitts and at @Pitsy35 on Instagram and Threads. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Those two in particular, though, because we get the metrics for those and we can see the growth and the numbies are still coming through big time on audio, and you guys continue to subscribe and share it with your friends and your family, which is awesome. Keep that up. Let's keep it rolling. Numbies are way up over the past few weeks, so that's awesome. We're up, like, breaking the fourth wall here. We're, like, up 440% on downloads in the last month, so let's keep it rolling. Let's keep
damn
it rocking.
Damn right, Margie. Damn right.
Yeah, CFO Margie knows what's popping.
God. Cheers.
So yeah, subscribe to the pod on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review, and subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, which we have to give a big thank you and a round of applause to King James. Shout out to LeBron James for keeping it real. We'll talk more about it when we talk about Sixers Knicks, but LeBron was keeping it real and is on our side when it comes to holding referees accountable. And you know it's getting bad in the NBA when LeBron is calling out referees who typically side with LeBron in a lot of instances, and that's no knock at him. He is this generation's like arguably best player. Debate your parents, debate your friends and family, whatever you want to do. He's one of the best NBA players of all time. But you know it's getting bad when LeBron's got things going on in his own game, but also takes time out of his press conference to address what happened in the Sixers-Knicks game, too, that we'll also talk about. But shout out to LeBron, because we posted a short about that on the YouTube channel. And Pitsy, the growth was crazy. It was massive, as we say, because that short has almost 10,000 views and has netted us almost 10 new subscribers on the YouTube channel. So we're at 771 subscribers on YouTube. Let's keep it pushing. Let's get to 800. If we can get to 800 plus subscribers by the end of our night one NFL draft live stream,
really cool.
That'd be great. That'd be great. We're at 771 right now, which means 29 more. 29 more. Let's make it happen. Let's keep this thing growing. YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. And of course, this show is presented by the City of Vineland, and the City of Vineland Municipal Calendar features city-organized, city-sponsored, and city-affiliated events that are of public interest. The calendar, which is accessible at vinelandcity.org, is a good way for residents and visitors to build awareness, remain engaged with city government, and participate in local events, which I just saw recently. Patty Pitts, City of Vineland official pages posting they're going to be doing bus tours, like with those like cool like trolley buses taking you around Vineland. Like, I might have to go on a tour and just film and vlog from a City of Vineland bus tour.
I think you have to. I think that's good.
But I was like, that's one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. And it looks like those really cool, like, tour-type buses that you see in, like, the big cities. You're going to be able to do that in the City
of Vineland. We got the duck boats. Yeah. I see driving same all concept. Around Boston. All
it's going to be awesome. You can also follow the City of Vineland, see these types of social media posts on their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube pages. And through these tools, you can stay connected to the community and get important announcements about programs and services offered by the city, Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast as the Phillies extend their lead 3-1. Johan Rojas. Joe Rowe coming up big. Let's fucking go, boys. We'll start off with the Fighting Phils because they are on the television right now. And in game three of their 4-game series against the Cincinnati Reds. And it is all brought to you by our awesome merch partners at PHI Apparel Company. Best merch in the game. Pitsy, you said we got to put CFO Margie's line on a shirt. We're going for it.
Oh, my
baby.
God. We're going for it, baby. That was the line of the year, dude. If there's one sentence to sum up what the Phillies are doing this year,
we're going for it, baby.
Like, we're going for it.
And I already pictured what the shirt would look like. You got to take the old school. You got two styles, but either both styles of it. You do the vintage, like 1980s Phillies, and then the current. But you flip the P upside down and make it a B for the baby. Well, like, we're going for it, baby, and then it's the upside down. Ball. I know ball.
That's just
go to CFO Margie because the people were loving it,
dude. That clip was awesome. That was just so wholesome.
We're gonna be doing that every game for the season tickets that we go to, or any game in general.
Dude, we need the CFO's opinion more often.
I think we're gonna call it 329 thoughts. I think we're gonna call it 329 thoughts or thoughts from the 329, which is the section that we're in.
I figured 329 was that. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what the
people. We got to get that merch made with PHI Apparel Company. They are the best, from shirts and hoodies and Philly-centric merch across the board. They're the go-to. If you want to stand out in the crowd like Pitsy and I do when we're rocking our underground hoodie that has a nice little hidden gem of the City of Philadelphia in it, cough, cough, graffiti pier, go to phiapparel.co. And when you fill up your cart with everything that you need so you can be styling and profiling, use code underground for 10% off your merch orders. Most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. So go to get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off your order. The Fightins, their win streak came to a close at 7 games. They won the first game of the series against the Reds, dropped Tuesday's game 7-1, something like that. They got smashed. But I tweeted this, and I'll reiterate it. I'm fine with that loss. Like, it happens. It's baseball. It's a 162-game season. You're not going to win them all. Things are going to happen. Baseball is one of those weird sports that, you know, one little, you know, mishap leads to, you know, a game of runs, and you aren't going to win every single game. Getting a loss out of the way. And that just means you go on a new win streak, which the Phillies are hopefully on their way to starting by winning tonight. I'm still wildly optimistic about this team, and I love how everyone tonight, as we're live and recording this on Wednesday, is freaking out about the lineup that is in place because yeah, Rob Thompson gets paid the big bucks to make the lineup. Well, when you're facing a guy who Pitsy, right-handed batters OPS, their on-base plus slugging percentage, is close to or over 900. I think it's like 895. Versus what it is against left-handers, which is about like 460. Like,
that's not good compared to what the other one is. No.
So Rob Thompson decided to load the lineup tonight with right-handed batters. So Brandon Marsh and Bryson Stott not playing. And you guys know we are daycare enthusiasts. I'm wearing the daycare shirt right now.
We love Brandon Marsh here. Obviously.
We love Marsh. We love Stott. We love Alec Boehm.
But as you said, it's a 162 game season. They're not going to, you don't need
to. And everyone's freaking out because they benched Marsh yesterday and he's not playing tonight as a starter. Right now, the Phillies lead 3-1 in the top of the sixth inning with two runners on base with Kyle Schwarber and an 0-2 count as I'm live broadcasting the game for you. They're winning 3-1. Like, maybe, just maybe, Rob Thompson and maybe those players that are in the lineup right now, maybe Christian Pache and Johan Rojas, who has been hitting the cover off the ball over the last almost month, you know, maybe Whit Merrifield, Edmundo Sosa, sure, those are your bench guys. And on the surface, that looks like you're throwing the game, like you're deploying a bench game, and you're not in it to win it. But maybe Rob Thompson kind of knows what he's doing and loads the lineup with right-handed batters so that you can attack a guy who is not good against right-handed hitting.
Yeah, and we also have to keep in mind what month it is. I mean, it's April.
It's April 24th, like, as we record it. 4/24/24. What a date.
Like, well, that's a crazy date. A lot of fours. And because of that, it's not the end of the world if a guy gets benched this early. And this is what managers like are benched. Going to. No, that's the thing. They're going to just – exactly. They're just going to fiddle around with lineups at this part of the season because you can. It's not that the games don't mean anything, but in the grand scheme of things, this is the time period where you can mix and match different players and lineups based on numbers and based on – you know, it's different stats like that. It's not that big of a deal, you know, for what you're saying on Twitter. I don't follow that many Philly accounts, obviously, the Boston guy, but the Philly accounts I do, you were the only one that was saying that it was, you know, quote tweeting it, a tweet saying it was the end of the world if they lost. You're like, why are we crying like the skies are falling? And I couldn't agree more. It's April. You know, baseball matters.
The Phillies only are off one of their best starts in franchise history.
Yeah, didn't they sweep? They got their first road sweep. And I remember that stat. I heard it on the radio.
We swept the Rockies. We swept the White Sox. And we are off to one of the greatest starts in franchise history. Mind you, anyone who lives under a rock, this Phillies franchise has been around since 1883. This is one of the best starts in franchise history. And it's the best start since 1983, which, may I remind you, it didn't end the way we wanted, but the Phillies went to the World Series in 1983. So,
dude, it's like,
every other start that is like this good, the Phillies went on to have a successful season for the most part.
Exactly. Like,
you should not be complaining about how the Phillies are doing in April in terms of win-loss and feeling down on them. You should be over the moon right now if you're a Phillies fan with how they're playing, how they're stringing together wins, and how goddamn good the pitching has been. Mm-hmm. Like, Tuesday night's game was a blip on the radar, and I agree with what Tom McCarthy and Ruben Amaro Jr. were saying. Like, Christopher Sanchez, he's not great against speedy base runners. You know, guys go out and try to get steals on him because he's not quick to throw over to first. He's not quick to pick off a base runner. I get it. But it did feel like Christopher Sanchez kind of let that dictate his mechanics and his momentum last night. And he was way too worried about the guys on base rather than getting the guys in front of him out. So that's kind of what led to the goofy night that you had, and you end up getting mollywopped by the Reds. It's fine. Go out, bounce back. Spencer Turnbull pitched another phenomenal outing tonight, 5 innings of one-run baseball. Let the bullpen go out there, finish this game strong, and now you're up 2-1 in this series and have a chance to win it going away to the West Coast on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, it's
relax. Sounds fun to me.
Sounds fine. I hear nothing wrong with what you're saying.
Like, the Phillies are in a great position right now. They are currently in second place in the division. They're 15-9, 2 games behind the Braves, and they're doing all of this with Bryce Harper not playing at Bryce Harper levels. They're doing this with Nick Castellanos still struggling mightily. They're doing this while Kyle Schwarber is hitting below 230 and not necessarily nuking home runs every single game, but he's still hitting home runs. You're doing this while Johan Rojas for about 2 weeks was trying to figure himself out at the plate. Mm-hmm. And you're doing this with JT Realmuto still not hitting all that great.
Yeah, the bats are going to the bats
15-9. You've scored 104 runs on the year. You have a positive run differential. You're 10-6 at home this season. You're 5-3 on the road. So you're above 500 both at home and on the road. Everything's going to be fine. They're playing well against the bad teams, which is also what matters.
Yeah.
And they're pitching phenomenally. Like, ride the wave of the great pitching.
Yeah, that's what really matters. If you aren't starting off the season with good pitching, that's a deep hole to come back from. Then lock up your guys that you can rely on this early. That shows a whole lot more confidence.
Like, the most wins in Major League Baseball right now is the Guardians with 17. And the Phillies are two wins behind that.
It's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And I mean, you know, you and I have talked about it a ton. Like, the Braves have a harder schedule as the season progresses.
Way harder.
The Phillies still have an opportunity in front of them over the next, like, 2.5 weeks to still build on wins and win series against mediocre to bad teams before the 20th to the 22nd of May when your next difficult challenge, which right now on paper isn't all that crazy because the Texas Rangers are a 500 ball club right now. They're 12-12.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So, and also, I feel so right. It feels so good, Pitts.
You feel vindicated?
What did we say about Blake Snell?
Oh, true.
What did we say?
That did happen.
I was like, sure, if you want to come through, come through. He didn't come through. He went to San Francisco. But the people out there, and I hate to call my guy Kyle Phillies 21, my boy, hate to call him out like this. But he was clamoring in the offseason, Patty Pitts. He was clamoring, chomping at the bit. Why did we sign Nola to this long extension? We could have had Snell. We could have had Jordan Montgomery. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Blake Snell has had a double-digit ERA for the season. And I never want to see a guy get hurt. But Blake Snell's on the injured list now with a very serious injury.
We said this, dude.
He's injury prone. He can't go deep into games. And what is the complete inverse of that? Oh, Aaron Nola. Goes deep into games. Has stayed relatively healthy in his career. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
And I mean, it pays to be right. It pays to be right. And John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold kind of sort of know what they're doing. They kind of sort of know.
Just a little bit.
I got to bring this up to you because you and I both love going down like the rabbit holes of trades of sports leagues past.
Oh, yeah. They're so interesting.
Great article from my good pal Tim Kelly. If you're not following him, you're missing out on phenomenal Phillies coverage. He's the editor-in-chief for Phillies Nation. This trade, Pitts, is insane. So this dates back to 2016, which was like heart of the Phillies being disgustingly bad. And like I was in the mud with this team. I was going to games left and right. I was diving deep into the farm system. I was down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Bad, you, like, cataclysmically. You told me about this is pre-podcast, obviously, because we didn't start podcasting until 2018. So the Phillies, and I'll link this article in the description for everyone to read because it's so fun to go down these rabbit holes. The Phillies nearly acquired Josh Naylor in 2016. He plays for the Cleveland Guardians, first baseman, power hitter. He's having a phenomenal year so far for the Guardians. It might have drastically changed their future. So, once upon a time, the Phillies nearly acquired Josh Naylor as a prospect. Had they had done so, it might have drastically altered the future of the team. Right now, Josh Naylor, he's 26 years old. He's slashing .321, .387, .605 with 6 home runs, 20 RBI, and a .992 OPS. So back at the 2016 MLB trade deadline, the Phillies had a deal in place that would have allowed them to acquire Naylor, but a series of bizarre events prevented the deal from being completed. Right-handed pitcher Colin Ray was traded from the Padres to the Miami Marlins on July 29, 2016. Ray was dealt along with right-handed pitchers Andrew Cashner and Teyron Guerrero for Josh Naylor and right-handed pitchers Jared Cosart, Carter Capps, and Luis Castillo. When Ray suffered an elbow injury in his first start, things hit the fan, leaving the Marlins enraged at San Diego general manager AJ. I remember this like clear as day, too. Was pissed at the Padres GM, AJ Preller. Padres made right. They accepted an injured Colin Ray back less than a week after acquiring him for Castillo, who had gone on to become one of the better pitchers in baseball. He pitches for Seattle right now, and he's So if the Marlins had been able to undo their entire deal, which was on the table at the time when this was all going down, it would have required them sending both Colin Ray, Cashner, and two additions to their starting rotation to the Padres. That would have left them scrambling for starting pitching depth behind the late Jose Fernandez. According to Rosenthal, their plan, if the original trade was undone, was to deal Josh Naylor to the Phillies for right-handed pitcher Jeremy Hellickson. When the Naylor trade didn't go through, the Phillies held on to Hellickson. And in 2016, he was great for the Phillies. He had a 3.71 ERA, a 3.98 FIP over 189 innings. And the next offseason, they extended the qualifying offer to him. He accepted it, so he's back in 2017. He wasn't that great in 2017 because he had a 4.73 ERA, a 5.51 FIP in 112 and a third innings for the Phillies in 2017 before the Phillies traded him to the Baltimore Orioles in exchange for outfielder Hyun-Soo Kim and minor league lefty Garrett Clevenger. Remember the name Garrett Clevenger.
Okay.
Hyun-Soo Kim played in 40 games for the Phillies in 2017. Mud year. Mud year for the Phillies. 2017 was all-time year of just like sickos. Before returning to South Korea, where he still plays in the KBO. Clevenger was traded to the Dodgers in December of 2020, which I was like, ah, fuck, if the Dodgers want a guy, like, you're fucking up.
God damn it.
But Clevenger was traded to the Dodgers in 2020 as part of a three-team trade that was the first trade Dave Dombrowski made as the president of baseball operations for the Phillies. Part of a three-team trade that allowed the Phillies to acquire a nice little reliever from the Tampa Bay Rays by the name of Jose Alvarado.
Oh.
So thinking about all of this, too, if Josh Naylor comes to the Phillies, who came up from the minor leagues at about the same time as Rhys Hoskins, with Josh Naylor's career have lasted long enough in the Phillies organization to become what he is now in Cleveland? Probably not, because Rhys Hoskins was here doing his thing, and now is a homegrown guy. They're going to use Rhys Hoskins. Helixson would have joined a Marlins rotation and a Marlins team in 2016, Patty Pitts, that still had the following players: Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, Marcelo Zuna, and JT Realmuto. Miami ended up finishing 79-83 in 2016, with the final days of their season. Obviously, Jose Fernandez passed away late that season, so things got rocked there. Helixson's addition as a rental in 2016 likely wouldn't have changed the eventual trades that saw the Marlins send away Stanton, Yelich, Ozuna, and Realmuto. But there's an interesting butterfly effect debate that makes you wonder whether one player being different for the Marlins in 2016 could have changed the course of their entire franchise.
That's what I'm saying, dude. All these names that you said, the one takeaway is just the butterfly effect of how different things could have been.
Because then, obviously, in 2019, the Phillies went on to acquire JT Realmuto.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's like for Realmuto to be part of the Marlins, like what he could have stayed if the Marlins were a little bit better because of like one guy could have turned their season. Like, he could have went so, like, there's so many different twists and turns. So I love going back and looking at these things.
And then you trade Clevinger to the Dodgers, which allows you to acquire Jose Alvarado, who has been an anchor in that bullpen since.
I know the name Jose Alvarado because
he's the grizzly bear.
Yeah, I know that name.
He's fucking fat, bro.
He's big.
He's the best. I love Jose Alvarado. Like, and like in the City Connect promos, like, Jose Alvarado is one of the five guys who were in the promo video in the City Connect jerseys. Like, he's a face of this team now.
Exactly.
And the fact that that little moment in time happened spurned so many different like webs of what if. That I love that shit. Like, remind me, I got to tell you something off pod because I don't want to disclose it to the listeners and have somebody steal our idea. Okay. But how crazy is that? That like one little 2016 mishap with a guy's elbow injury affected multiple franchises and the course of history for where the Phillies are now.
My sports are so awesome. Like, because just something so little like that has such a ripple effect that years later you look back and like, how did that happen? Like, if we just knew that little thing, you wouldn't have known. It's just wild.
And speaking of which, as we record this on Wednesday, the 24th, is the two-year anniversary of Kyle Schwarber going absolutely ballistic on Angel Hernandez on Sunday Night Baseball. That I am genuinely in the belief that that changed the course of history for this current iteration of the Philadelphia Phillies. That moment in time.
You do believe it.
Because Kyle Schwarber, rightfully so, lost his mind on Angel Hernandez on a terrible call that ended a game against the Brewers that the Phillies lost 1-0. That game happens. Mm-hmm. Andrew McCutchen is on as the post-game interview with Scott Van Pelt and voices his opinion about how we need to be better across the board with umpiring and officiating, and does that on the worldwide leader. But from that game, like, it shout out to my boy Brian too. He brought this back in my mind, and as I watched the clip, as Kyle Schwarber is like losing his shit on Angel Hernandez, Joe Girardi is nowhere in sight. Nowhere in sight, defending his guy, coming to his defense, allowing himself to take the fall in this whole situation. Granted, the game was over, but still. I think that moment opened the eyes to Dave Dombrowski and the entire Phillies ownership, front office, to say Joe Girardi's not our guy.
Yeah, if you're not sticking up for your guys during a big blowout, that says, that speaks volumes.
And Girardi was fired about a month later, and the Phillies went on to go to the World Series in 2022.
Yeah, that was a shock.
I'm not saying like that was the immediate cause. But I think that moment showed a lot of things to the Phillies front office, and I think it showed a lot of things to the Phillies clubhouse, because that was Schwarber's first year on the team. I think that showcased, like, this guy wants to, like, really, like, be a part of something special and win here, and, like, showed off Kyle Schwarber's, like, leadership skills to, like, say, hey, I'm going to take one for the team and call this guy out for costing us a game here. And I think that showcased to the entire clubhouse that, like, he might be new here, but, like, he's going to be a leader for this team, to which he's he's effectively the unofficial captain, or one of the unofficial captains of the Phillies. Kyle Schwarber, yeah. When you think Phillies baseball right now, like, he is one of the faces of the Phillies.
Yeah,
and I think that game helped, like, launch that into not only, like, diehard fans, like, brains, but even the casual fan who saw that, it's like, oh, I like Kyle Schwarber. Like, he's gritty. He's going to stand up for, you know, this team, this city, against bad calls, and, you know, go to bat for this team, no pun intended, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And, you know, the Philly City Connect jersey hype video showcased an angle of that film from 2 years ago that the Phillies had just had in their back pocket as a little treat for everybody. And it's like, they've been holding onto this camera angle for 2 years and we haven't seen it. It's great. But I do think that moment in time really, like, the Phillies could have gone one of two paths, and they chose the right path after seeing what happened in that game, which is great. But it is crazy that that was 2 years ago.
That's wild. That is wild. It's been only 2 years.
Phillies right now, as we're recording this, are about to go down 4-3 in the bottom of the sixth inning to the Cincinnati Reds, and I am beside myself.
Okay.
Let's get it together, boys. Let's figure something out here. But Patty Pitch, should we go to Underground Stats and Info?
I think we should take a trip there.
It is brought to you by our pals over at FOCO, the leaders in forever collectibles. They just released their whole Mother's Day and Father's Day line of number one mom, number one dad shirts for every single team you can think of under the sun. They're going to have awesome stuff for the NFL draft. They just launched the Fanatic and Bryce duo bobblehead for the Fanatic birthday. That looks amazing. You guys saw me wearing the overalls. I got to get the shortalls. I got to get so much stuff from FOCO. It's crazy. You can do the same. Patty Pitts has the captain's hat that he wears. I'm sure he'll be wearing it during our draft stream when the third
overall the captain of the
bunk. And yeah,
the Vikings take Drake May. Patriots trade down to 32.
Take JJ McCarthy.
Take JJ McCarthy. We become a run-stopping powerhouse defense. We're talking Philly sports.
FOCO's going to have you covered. You guys can click the link in the description, visit FOCO, and check out everything they have to offer. When you click that link, it directly supports us and shows FOCO that you're rocking with us. So click that link in the description and check out all the forever collectibles from our pals over at FOCO. Patty Pitts, the run differentials as we're recording this episode. So some of this will be updated by the time you guys are listening, if you're not watching live. But we start, as we always do, with the NL East. The 16-6 Atlanta Braves are 8-2 in their last 10. They are leading the way in the NL East with run differential. What do you have their run differential at?
18.
They are at a plus 43.
I was so far off. Wow. Okay.
Then we go to our Philadelphia Phillies, who right now have a negative 2 run differential in their ongoing game. But we're going to go with the stats that are live. They are 15-9. They have scored 104 runs on the year. They are in the positive.
Is it more than what I said?
It is less than what you said already.
All right, I'm going to go plus 13.
Very, very close. It's plus 11.
Oh, that was my first. Okay.
Plus 11. Then we go to the Lowell New York Mets, who are 13-11 somehow. They are 7-3 in their last 10. They've scored 113 runs, which is the second most in the division. What do you have their run differential at?
Plus 7.
They're at plus 10. Plus 10.
Okay.
Then we go to the stolen franchise, the pesky Washington Nationals. They're 10-12. They have scored the fewest runs in the division at 81. What do you have their run differential at?
Plus 3.
They are at negative 12.
Yeah, I knew they were in the negatives.
Negative 12. Giving up 93 runs, which is the same amount the Phillies have given up. Then we go to the 6-19 Miami Marlins, who are 3-7 in their last 10. They've scored 85 runs on the year, more than the Nationals. But they are in the basement. What do you have their run differential at?
Negative 22.
They are at negative 46.
God damn it. I was not close at all tonight. Jeez.
Looking around the rest of baseball, the Brewers, Cubs, Reds all in the positives at plus 32, plus 23, and plus 21, respectively. The Pittsburgh Pirates are even Steven, plus minus 0 in their run differential category. And the St. Louis Cardinals are at a whopping minus 26. And then we go to the NL West. The Dodgers at plus 18. The Padres at plus 7. The 12-14 Arizona Diamondbacks at a plus 35. And then the 12-14 San Francisco Giants, the duality of team, are at a minus 20. And then the 6-18 Colorado Rockies have given up the most runs in all of baseball, question mark. Yes. Given up 142 runs so far, Pitch.
Jesus Christ, we're in April.
We are.
They're going to hit 200 before the end of the month.
They could hit 200 by the end of the month.
I think they could very easily.
And they are at a minus 54 run differential. They've scored 88 runs, surrendered 142.
Dude, just give up. Like, come on. Pack it in.
We go to the American League. The Orioles, the Yankees, and the Red Sox all in the positives at plus 29, plus 20, and plus 15 across the board, respectively. The Blue Jays at minus 12, even though they're 13-11. And then the 12-13 Tampa Bay Rays at minus 26.
Good. Keep them down there.
We go to the nonsense division, the American League Central, where the Cleveland Guardians are 17-6 and have a plus 55 run differential, the best in baseball. The Detroit Tigers are 14-10. They have a plus 9 run differential. And the Kansas City Royals are also 14-10, but they have a plus 37 run differential. The Minnesota Twins are 9-13. They have a negative 17 run differential. And then the 3-20 Chicago White Sox.
Oh my God, dude. What are they?
Have scored 50 runs all year. Have given up 129 for a negative 79 run differential.
That's the worst, dude. What are we even doing? Are we playing like T-ball? They're not even playing T-ball. They should be playing T-ball.
And yet they haven't given up as many runs as the Rockies. They've just scored fewer.
No, that's just nonsense. Straight up. That's who's worse? Do they play each other soon?
I hope so.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to bet. Do you bet the over for stupidity or do you bet the under because no team can hit?
You want to know the best thing? Shout out to my boy Nick Picone. He like tweets out highlight clips of the Phillies and like every Philly sports team, but puts the radio broadcast over top of it. So you can hear like how it lines up if you're listening to the radio. He posted one of Scott Fransky calling Kyle Schwarber running to home. And previously they had been talking about how like the slowest guys around the base pass were Marcell Ozuna, fuck that guy, and Kyle Schwarber. Schwarber ran from first to home to score. And Fransky goes, Ozuna wouldn't have scored there, which is great. And Braves fans, their brains melted.
That's so funny.
It is hilarious that people were talking about like the Phillies and like who they've played against and like the weight they used weighted runs created plus as a stat to determine how good or bad
the
Phillies.
Give me a break.
Do you want one of the funnier stats on the season, Pitts? The Phillies are 3-0 against the White Sox this year. They swept them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The White Sox have 3 wins all year. One of their 3 wins is against the Atlanta Braves.
Yes. Fuck the Braves.
But yeah, the White Sox don't have as many runs surrendered as the Rockies, but worst run differential in baseball. But we go to the final division. It's the AL West, which is the most like meh division on the year. The Mariners are leading the division at 12-11. They have a +7 run differential. The defending champion Texas Rangers are 12-12 and have a +6 run differential. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are 5 games under 500 at 10-15 and have a -17 run differential. The Oakland A's are 9-15 and have a -36 run differential. It's getting early quick down in H-Town, down there in Houston. The 7-17 Houston Astros there, Patty Pitts. They've scored 98 runs. They've given up 131 and have a -33 run differential on the year.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
The Marlins and Astros have surrendered the same amount of runs on the season.
That's so funny.
Tied for the second most. So it's the Rockies at 142, 131 with the Marlins and Astros, and then 129 with the Chicago White Sox.
Wow. That's just nonsense.
It's brutal.
That's just straight up nonsense.
It's getting early quick, but you know what's even crazier is that sports books across the board still have the Astros not at plus money to make the playoffs. It's still negative odds.
They know something.
Yeah, the Astros have voodoo magic.
They do.
They have voodoo magic. Shall we check in on the Platinum Plunk?
Yes, I think we should.
We will check in on the Platinum Plunk, which if you're new here, if you're watching live for the first time, Pitsy and I determined this season to make it even more fun to follow along with baseball. We are going to keep track of the hit-by-pitch category in Major League Baseball and with the Philadelphia Phillies. And with baseball, it's going to be from an individual standpoint, player hit by the most pitches, and the team who racks up the most hit-by-pitches, which right now, Patty Pitts, last time we checked, it was those Cleveland Guardians who...
Yeah, last time we did check, they had 12,
team
right?
Leader, they had... 18, I think, was their number. It has gone up again. The Guardians are at 21 hit by pitches.
Jesus, dude.
As a team, they are almost averaging one hit by pitch per day in the month of April.
That's so fucking wild. That is so wild. Dude, like, what do they got? A fucking magnet attached?
League average is 10.
Yeah, that's the average. They're double the average. That's insane.
Double the average. They're at 21.
Dude, we're on to something.
The Twins are at 17. The Cardinals are at 15. The Mets and Rays are at 13. The Rockies and Tigers and Blue Jays are all at 12, as are the Nationals. The Diamondbacks, Braves, Red Sox, Angels all at 11. And then the Reds and Mariners are league average at 10. And the Philadelphia Phillies are now on the board with 2. It's no longer 1.
Good. Who was the guy who it was only one person.
So it was, I'm going to see here. Let's see by team. Let's scroll down to Philadelphia.
God damn, I'm kidding.
That is insane. 21 hit by pitches.
21 is a wild number. Especially a wild number of hit by pitches.
Like,
Jesus.
Truly, damn near averaging a hit by pitch per day in the month of April.
Like, that, I don't know what to attribute that to.
So, really, Edmundo Sosa, welcome to the Platinum Plunk standings.
There we go. Welcome, my dude. Welcome. Edmundo Sosa. We love Sosa.
These bitches right here love Sosa.
This bitch. Love Sosa.
He is one of my sister's favorite players on this current iteration.
I really thought you were going to say that he is one of my sister's favorite rappers, and I was going to. I was going to be like, Sarah knows ball.
Sarah's reasoning for loving Edmundo Sosa off the rip. Like, she loves him as a player, obviously, but like, what got her into being an Edmundo Sosa fan? I was like, why do you like him? She goes, his name's Edmundo.
Edmundo is
a great name.
That is a great name.
It's a great name. And it's a great reasoning to like a player.
You take out the Ed. I mean, Edmundo means world. So Ed's world. He lives in Ed's world.
He's Big Ed.
He's Big Ed in Ed's world. That's incredible.
But yes, the Platinum Plunk is keeping track of all the hit-by-pitches throughout Major League Baseball and with the Phillies, and it is the Underground Sports Philadelphia presents the Chase Utley Platinum Plunk Award, because Chase Utley would do whatever it takes to get on base for his squad and would take hit-by-pitches like a fiend, and we love Chase Utley on this show. But your leaders in the clubhouse from an individual standpoint, he's back at the top all by himself, Pat. Andrés Giménez from your Cleveland Guardians has been hit by 6 pitches this season.
Jesus, dude. 6.
He's averaging a hit by pitch every 4 days in the month of April.
God, dude. Where's some padding at this point?
Ramon Laureano, his teammate on the Cleveland Guardians, has been hit by 5 pitches.
God.
As well as Detroit Tigers, Mark Canna has been hit by 5 pitches. And St. Louis Cardinal, Brendan Donovan. Insane. Insane. And then your guys who have been hit by 4 include Chris Bryant, Matt Wallner from the Minnesota Twins, Ryan Jeffers from the Minnesota Twins, that dork and dweeb Brandon Nimmo, and Jesse Winker. And then your 3 spots are Eugenio Suarez, Ronald Acuna Jr., Masataka Yoshida from your Boston Red Sox.
Nice, nice.
Spencer Steer from the Reds, David Fry from the Cleveland Guardians, Tyler Freeman from the Cleveland Guardians, Freddie Freeman, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, Isaac Paredes, Jose Caballero, Josh Smith, and Kevin Biggio have all been hit by 3 pitches this season. Philly still the leaders in the clubhouse for fewest with 2, because the next closest is 5, and that's the Kansas City Royals and Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that tells me? The Phillies just they put out good wood.
Okay,
they put the wood on the balls.
Not that good. Well, we need an OnlyFans.
I'm doing this on purpose. Shirt.
I can tell. You're trying to break the old champ over here, but nope. I'm on to your games.
Speaking of which, Edmundo Sosa is currently up to bat right now, and the Phillies are trailing only 5-4 now.
See,
so come on, Edmundo, let's go. Lifts one in the air, goes foul. But yeah, Andrés Giménez, I feel like is. He's got that sicko dog in him where he's just like, yeah, hit. He's like the Joker. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
I love that one.
We're going to put graphics out every month, I think, for individual leader, individual Philly, and
team
for the Platinum Plunk. Crazy stuff. This is so fun to keep track of.
I do like that we're keeping track of this because it's a very niche.
I also thought of another one that maybe in the future we can add to Underground Stats and Info with run differential and hit by pitch is manager ejections.
Oh, dude, the Aaron Boone one is hilarious.
Unreal. And like,
talk about shit on pitch.
I know you probably don't like Aaron Boone just from his playing days. I genuinely.
What?
I genuinely.
You,
like,
the Red Sox fan is not an Aaron Boone guy. Made me cry throughout the San Francisco hotel. No, he's on my top favorite list. Fuck Aaron Boone. But you know what?
I genuinely like Aaron Boone, the manager.
I don't like him. You're not going to get me to
I know
like
you
him.
Have a different perspective, but like just as a casual outsider observer, okay. I think Aaron Boone is very entertaining and a very good manager in a lot of aspects. But the fact that he got thrown out like that, like, the accountability for Major League Baseball needs to be thrown down on Hunter Wendelstedt. Like, what a coward that guy is.
That was
the fourth pitch of the game that happened.
Yeah, dude. Nothing goes going
on. I got to send you, because obviously Booney does his his weekly like media hit with John Boy now. So I got to send you because he was on John Boy this week and they talked about it. It was crazy.
I hate him so much. I hate him with such a passion. That's what happens when you piss off the champ. But well, that's just what happens.
Did you know Aaron Boone's dad played for the Phillies?
Did not.
Bob Boone.
I like his brother Brett more. So.
But yeah, insane. Speaking of refs and speaking of officials, before we go to the hardwood, let's talk about Kenwood. Our pals at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, and just 8 grams of carbs. You'll probably need to responsibly consume a ton of Kenwood beer during this Sixers-Knicks series because it's been a death sentence for a lot of people. Parody. And you can go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. I believe you can still get it at the Wells Fargo Center as well. As Brandon Marsh lifts one in the air and it dies at the track. That's a bummer. That's a bummer. I believe you can still get it at the Wells Fargo Center. So if you're going to the game 3 on Thursday, check it out, Kenwood Beer. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets that I mentioned. And check out the Kenny storefront for the awesome pint glasses, great Kenwood Beer merch. It's kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Patty Pitts, game 2 of Sixers-Knicks was the ultimate roller coaster of
you guys absurdities. Went through it.
And I genuinely don't know what it's going to take for sports leagues to finally hire officials and referees and umpires full time. Because yeah, everyone complaining about refs and accountability and everything, I've done this song and dance for years. I've said it is crazy. I have a tweet that I constantly quote tweet and say, tapping the sign from a couple years ago, that it's crazy that referees and umps do not get held accountable for being bad at their jobs. Anybody in a field of work who fucks up as bad as refs and umps do in a lot of cases would be fired from their job or at least fined, suspended,
reprimanded. Yes.
Some sort of, you know, accountability would be dished out. The reason I have come to the conclusion that it will never happen in the current state of officiating is because essentially officials are independent contractors that have a union, and they are not league employees. Until leagues decide to hire officials full-time, we're never going to see accountability placed on umpires and referees, which is a shame because what happened in that Sixers game on both ends, things that should have been called against the Sixers and a lot of things that should have been called against the Knicks did not get called. A timeout that should have been granted to Nick Nurse did not get approved. And the fact that you have the official NBA account and the official New York Knicks account posting a video in fucking 9,000K showing Nick Nurse in the background calling for the timeout and Tyrese Maxey's jersey getting yanked on like it's tug of war by Jalen Brunson yanked is an absolute disgrace. There's so many things that should have been called in that game, and it was a clear home court advantage for the Knicks. And I am not one to full on blame officiating for losses. Like, should the Sixers have made more free throws? They shot 72% from the line. Yes. Should Kyle Lowry have made both free throws with 40 seconds left in the game to go up 6 rather than 5? Yes. But that's not what happened. So you have to roll with the punches of what happened. And what happened down the line where the NBA 2-minute report, which shout out to Shaquille O'Neal for keeping it real. What's the point of the 2-minute report in the NBA? Where you're going to say, oops, my bad, we fucked up, but nothing's going to come of it. Why even put it out there?
Exactly, yeah.
It's like so trash, it's so bad, and it cost the Sixers a game. that this series should easily be at minimum 1-1, if not 2-0 Sixers, if Embiid doesn't get hurt in that first game and goes out for that stretch. But bare minimum, it should be 1-1. Mm-hmm. And the referees towards the end of that game cost it. I saw a post that the Sixers can protest the game. And if the protest goes through, they replay the game from where the foul should have occurred, which is like the last 30 seconds.
Is that, dude, like, are we at that point, really?
And like, there have only been 6 successful protests in 44 attempts in NBA history. So the Sixers can protest it all they want. It's not going to change a single thing. And it's just pathetic on the NBA's part. It's pathetic on the NBA officials for not being good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And now the Sixers find themselves in a 2-0 hole coming home to Philly, where I don't know. I'm at the point where, like, anything that happens to the Sixers now, like, I'm numb to it. Like, 2021 ruined me, and I genuinely just don't know. Like, I tweeted during that game that the Sixers had to play in the play-in, and this is technically in the minds of the Sixers the second round, so we're probably going to lose.
That's a good way to look at it. That's a very good way to look at it.
But then you have, like, the stupid shit going around. Like, the local radio station saying, should the Wells Fargo Center take down Villanova's championship banners in the Wells Fargo Center for Thursday's game against the Knicks? What the fuck are we talking about?
That's just weird. I don't know. I don't even know how you connect that. I really don't.
Well, they're saying because Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo played on those 2016 and 2018 Nova
teams. Yeah, but that's stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Which shout out to the Coggin Toboggan on Twitter. He said, can we have a who gives a shit option?
Yeah, that's really it. Because that is the most stupid thing I've ever heard.
And then the best part of what has happened over the past few days is he has had an open invite for this show whenever. Kyle Newbeck, who is one of the Sixers beat writers for PHLY, absolutely eviscerated the king, Howard Eskin, on their show.
Ooh. Okay.
Now, I don't want to play it because it is PHLY's content, but I'll play the audio and let the people decide. We'll figure it out in post. And we've already posted the clip. Kyle Newbeck is the man for this. Like, genuinely, through and through, an unbelievable rant of, like, 2.5 minutes of absolutely destroying Howard Eskin, who is legacy media and went in because Howard Eskin he's not even really media. He just shows up to make, like, grandstand type of questions and then leaves games and tries to be like this high and mighty figure in Philly. I don't know if there's one of those in Boston who's like a legacy media type of person.
There's a couple that I can think of.
The local radio station tweeted a quote from Howard Eskin saying, "The star of the team is not Joel Embiid. Hey, big guy, how about a stinking rebound in the fourth quarter? Tyrese Maxey is without question the best basketball player on this 76ers team, and it's not even close." To which Kyle Newbeck dethroned the king and said, "In 20 years, Howard will pretend he never said most of this stuff, just like he did with Allen Iverson, whose ass he now kisses because he's a desperate clout chaser."
Jesus Christ.
To which Eskin responds, "Coming from a nobody who wants to be a somebody, you've got nobody locked up, a zero trying to become a one. Again, you have a zero locked up. Jealousy is a horrible trait. Stay in your lane. Too bad it's a dead end. Also, thanks for letting me live, quote, rent-free in your head. Hashtag Mr. Irrelevant." To which Kyle Newbeck responds, and says, "So unbothered that you laid down to go to bed and couldn't sleep without responding. Unlike you, I'll never be enough of a zero that I'll admit in a media room that I've deliberately put typos in my tweets for more attention. Can't say the same for you, sad old fraud."
Jeez, it's getting ugly.
Mind you, Kyle Newbeck this year was voted as top Philadelphia sports reporter.
Yeah.
Like, he won that award. But this is Kyle Newbeck, a nice three-minute rant on PHLY Sixers, which, shout to them. They do a phenomenal job covering the team. And I want to get this queued up properly for you. Here we go. This is Kyle Newbeck on PHLY Sixers.
His career to say, he's got to win some of these. He's got to win when the chips are down and drag some people along with him and has not been able to do so. And I get it. He's been hurt and there are all the excuses. He's got to come through. But this is not the time to be relitigating all the Joel Embiid arguments.
He's doing everything he can.
He has done everything that I think you could realistically ask for from him. And I would say even more on top of that. Now is not the time, Howard Eskin, to be saying shit about Joel Embiid.
If you want to say Sixers will never win with Joel Embiid, he's soft, there's a place where you can do that. 215-592, you know the rest. This is not that
show. I love most of my people at WIP, so this is not a WIP thing. This is a that guy who shows up and grandstands at press conferences, leaves before halftime, and pretends like he has any salient analysis to offer about basketball. Like, we're talking about a guy who shit all over Allen Iverson during his career, literally got fucking sued by Allen Iverson for lying about things that his lawyer did in court, got suspended for it, had to admit in a deposition that he lied on the air and did not say things that he meant or that he knew and should have revealed as he's saying these things. And this guy is going to sit here and talk shit about Joel Embiid. There's a line from Succession that I think of when I think of that guy. It's Shiv talking about her husband saying, "Tom will suck the biggest dick in the room." That's Howard Eskin. He will do that as soon as Joel is done his playing career and has moved on from Philadelphia. Howard Eskin will pretend he was his best fucking friend for years and years. And, he knew it all along how special he was and how great he was. That's how he's tried to kiss Allen Iverson's ass. That's how he's tried to kiss Terrell Owens' ass after he, along with a lot of other people, tried to run him the fuck out of town while he was here. Fuck that guy. Fuck you, Howard.
I love that.
That's all I have to say about him. A lot of people agree with the negative energy today, but I can't stand that fucking guy. And I'm tired of – there are a lot of other people with divergent takes on Joel and the Sixers and whatever else, and that's fine. Like, they're all – they're coming from the right place most of the time. That guy's a disingenuous hack, and I can't fucking stand him.
I just want to say, we give a lot of credit to Segways. I teed you up for that, I think, pretty perfectly. I just want, because we were talking a little bit about that Howard Eskin tweet earlier in the show. I just want to say, I want to pat myself on the back.
Guy's got real balls talking about people. Now
hit it out of the park.
No, so Manscaped.
You got real balls saying somebody's not showing up in the fourth quarter. You haven't shown up for a fucking second half in the 7 years I've gone to every single Sixers home game that has existed. Why don't you show up for a fourth quarter?
There you go.
Jesus. Shout out to Kyle Newbeck, all-time rant of the year.
That was incredible. Like, that was awesome.
Rant of the year.
So good. Put that motherfucker in his place, dude. Fuck Howard Eskin. I'm all on that plane. I'm all on that boat.
It's unreal. What a great rant. Shout out to Kyle Newbeck. Once again, has an open in. I would love to have Kyle on this show. We've been trying to get him on for years, but he is the best. Sixers game 3 on Thursday at the Wells Fargo Center. It's going to be a doozy of a time because we got Phillies baseball going on Thursday afternoon. We got Sixers basketball. We got the NFL draft. Wow. It's going to be a wild time. And speaking of the NFL draft, Pitsy, it's the eve. It snuck up on us real quick. And we're going to put on our tomahawk shades because this segment is brought to you by them. And we're going to analyze what's coming up for the NFL draft. Tomahawk shades are the best small batch eyewear in the game. Sunglasses, blue light glasses, and prescription lenses for a fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies that feel great on your face. They're just unbelievable quality. And they've been rocking with us for years now, and they simply just deliver on every single piece that they put out on their website, in the app. Tomahawk Shades has you covered. We're wearing our blue light glasses all the time when we're editing, our sunglasses when we're outside. If you need prescription lenses, they got you covered. Go to tomahawkshades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store, Google Play Store, which right now they're all new Brixton glasses selling out fast. But if you download the app, get a pair of the Brixton sunglasses, you can get 50% off your first order with code BRIX, code BRIX, on the Brixton class for 50% off in the Tomahawk Shades app. And at any time, you can use code USP at tomahawkshades.com or in the app and get 25% off your entire order. Use that code. Tomahawk Shades sees it. They know you're rocking with us. They've been rocking with us since 2020, and they're the best in the game. Tomahawkshades.com. Use code USP for 25% off your order. Pitsy, the NFL draft is coming, and I just need to know how prepared, scale of 1 to 10, you are right now on the eve of the draft for Drake May to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots. And from an outsider perspective, what you think Howie Roseman is going to do on draft night, the king of wheeling and dealing, the king of drafting Georgia Bulldogs, and the king of just fleecing teams to get what the Eagles need.
Bro, I don't want the Pats to take Drake May. I just don't care anymore. I just want a quarter. Like, I'm not even kidding when it says I don't care what the Pats do. I just want them.
Are
to
you
do...
more invested in the Lions draft?
No, not really. Because the Lions, it's kind of obvious what they need. They just need more help on the defensive side of the ball.
Which right now, Tankathon, our good pals at Tankathon, are mocking my favorite player in the draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry, to go to the Lions.
What is he, a corner? That's exactly it. That's what they need. And exactly what
he's who I want so bad.
I'm probably on the Drake May, like, 7. Like, it's going to happen. Cool, whatever. I just want results. When it comes to the Eagles, they're going to take a corner, or they're going to trade with somebody
to take
wheel
a corner
and deal to take a corner again, or sneak some random Georgia defensive lineman. Like, that's just my.
Which I also saw the weird, like, sicko hypothetical today that Howie Roseman could trade up to a certain spot and do what he did with Zach Ertz when in 2018 the Eagles drafted Dallas Goedert. And it was like the perfect like overlap for those guys. And then Goddard took the reins to do that Brock now Bowers. And draft Brock Bowers.
That happens. I'm just going to say fuck the world. Because like you guys getting a Brock Bowers, I'm over it.
And he's from Georgia.
Of course. Oh, fucking. Did you get another Bulldog? Go Dogs. Isn't that what we say on the show? Go Dogs.
Get your Philly Dogs shirt. PHIapparel.co. That's what I'm wearing tomorrow night.
Exactly. Just fuck everything. Patriots are going to trade down to 20-something and get J.J. McCarthy. The Eagles are going
to
take...
J.J.'s still currently mocked to go to the Giants, which I can't wait to see Steve's reaction.
Dude, I would... Oh, my God.
You think you got it bad.
Yeah,
at least Drake May has upside.
Yeah,
Drake May has upside, which is fine.
I love to see the Giants perish and any fan of a New York sports team perish. It's really fun to me. So anytime that happens,
which right now the current way that the corners are flowing off the Tankathon board right now, this is without any trades. They have number 11, the Vikings taking Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. That's the first corner off the board. Then they have Terrion Arnold from Alabama going 15 to the Colts. And then it's the Eagles at 22 taking Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And then it is Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Lions at 29.
That's not bad. I like that.
And then it's Nate Wiggins going to the Cardinals at 35, the corner from Clemson in the second round. And then 39 overall to the Panthers is Ennis Rakestraw Jr. Great name. From Missouri. Then TJ Tampa going to the Falcons. That would be hilarious. Guy with the last name Tampa, not going to the Bucs. What are we doing?
I know, but that's just nonsense.
And then Kamari Lassiter going to the Jaguars, the corner from Georgia. And then they have the Eagles mocked with pick 50, which is the pick they got from the Saints in the C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade. Taking Marshawn Neyland, an edge rusher from Western Michigan. And then at 53, they have the Eagles taking Cole Beebe, an inside interior offensive lineman from Kansas State. And then they got my boy Max Melton going in the second round. South Jersey boy from Rutgers going to the Bucks.
We love
him. He is the brother of Bo Melton, who currently plays for the Packers. Max is a fucking beast. That's awesome. I'm so pumped for him. South Jersey's on the fucking map in the NFL, bro.
It is.
Shout out to Greg Schiano for like doing the damn thing at Rutgers and like putting Rutgers on the map when it comes to NFL draft prospects again.
It's nice to see.
I'm just looking through the rest of the draft to see if there's any like all name team guys that we should be paying attention to. There's a guy, his name is Chris Abrams Drain. He better hope he doesn't have any bad games because people are going to be saying, oh, down the drain.
Down the drain, Abrams goes. That's, yeah, he can't. That's bad luck.
I also need the Eagles to draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Oh, yeah.
I need that. I don't care if they need to reach on him in the second round because right now he's mocked to go 89th to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the third round. Nah, I need Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on the Eagles.
I'm in for it.
But yeah, it's going to be an interesting night. We obviously will hopefully have DJ on board as well, which they currently have the Packers mock to take Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. It's a great pick. NFL draft's going to get crazy. Like Caleb Williams, shout out to our boy Gio. Interviewed Caleb Williams today at the draft, and it showcased how cool of a person Caleb Williams is, in my opinion. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Caleb Williams. And once he goes, I think it'll be Jaden Daniels going to Washington, which I hate because I think Jaden Daniels is very fucking good. And then I think the draft really starts at 4 because I think Drake May is an inevitable guy going to the Patriots. And then it's what happens with the Minnesota Vikings like we talked about on the last episode.
Yeah, are they going
to
trade?
Will they trade with the Cardinals to go up and get J.J. McCarthy or somebody of that ilk, which I think if the Giants take J.J. McCarthy, they're just fucking stupid.
They're so dumb. They are so dumb if they do that.
What we have known over the years, the Giants are just
they would do stupid. It, though. They would do it.
They would so do it. Also, the NFL, the big thing in the streets is these new jerseys. My God, is that Broncos jersey bad?
They're all bad. They're all terrible.
Broncos jersey, bad. Texans, bad.
Terrible.
Lions, solid.
No, Lions are the best one, hands down. Lions, very solid. The white numbers was so perfect.
Yeah. Who else did a jersey refresh?
Browns, but like they were.
Browns, meh. Oh, the Jets, bad. Yeah. Jets always bad though.
Always bad.
Yeah, like they're just not good. They're not good at all. The Lions did the best. The only thing I had a gripe with the Lions was the helmet for the black uniform. I wasn't that big a fan of. Okay, I didn't like the black lion logo. I wish it was flipped. Yeah. I wish it was a black helmet, blue lion.
Oh, fair. I like that. Yeah, the black should be the dominant color.
Because it's a blackout uni. I think it would look way cleaner. I think that's the only issue I had, but the Lions are solid. I love everyone also saying, speaking of the Eagles, that game 3, because the Sixers obviously have a bell ringer. That's like their pregame thing. It should be Saquon Barkley against the Knicks.
Jesus Christ.
Really dig the sword into the New York fan base.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Great. Some tidbits, Philly sports news. We're going to talk about it in depth on OTB this week, but the Wings announced that Paul Day is stepping down as head coach, but will be remaining with the team as the GM. Paul Day is the best. He has been unbelievable to us. and to me just as a person, and I'm happy he's staying with the organization. I was going to be bummed like if he was going to be like gone. I think him having the humility to self-evaluate and say, I'm going to take something off of my plate and still be a part of this team and bring a championship to Philadelphia as the GM and allow a fresh perspective to come in from a coaching perspective side of things is super humble of him. But Paul Day is the best. And I think it's a nice move for him too, because he's going to be the GM. He won't have to be in Philly every single week. So he'll get to spend more time at home with his son. And I think that's a huge thing for him as his son continues to get older. And new head coach search, number one overall pick. It's going to be fun. It's a fun time for the Wings. Flyers signed Ivan Fedotov to a 2-year contract extension. The big Ruski. The giant there Russian goaltender that
love big Russians.
Somehow escaped being in the Russian Navy and got to Philadelphia for the end of this season.
That's incredible.
There's a picture of him, and I was like, oh, wow, I walk by that basketball hoop every Wings game. There's like a outside basketball hoop in the hallways in the like basement of the Wells Fargo Center, and he's like holding on to it and barely that's off so the funny. Ground. Like, that's he's incredible. So tall. He's like 6'8".
Jesus.
He's huge. Signed to a 2-year contract extension. Yeah, it sucks that the Flyers missed out on the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm watching the Bees right now. Up against the Leafs, they need to win because the Celtics just lost. So.
Did you know that my good pal Jake Zimmer is the public address announcer for the Boston Bruins?
I did not know that.
He's also the PA announcer for the PLL, so that's how I know it.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, that's all we got for you guys. We'll be live tomorrow night around like 7:45 Eastern time. We'll probably get the stream going for the NFL draft first round. Myself, Pitsy, Stevie Mack, and hopefully DJ. So definitely tune into that. Be sure to follow us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Pitsy, I know you're about to piss your pants.
I am.
You can go piss your pants while
you do your wrap up. Yeah, you wrap it up.
I won't end until you're back.
No, that's great. I gotta
follow us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow us on LinkedIn, connect with us on there. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads. You can follow Pitsy on Twitter at Pat_Pitz and on Instagram and Threads at Pitsy35. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Those two in particular, though, really move the needle. It allows us to see more growth because we get the direct analytics for both of those. So keep subscribing on Apple and Spotify. Keep leaving 5-star reviews. It really does go a long way for helping us continue to hit new goals and allow us to do more awesome stuff with and for you guys. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That is where you get full video episodes of every show on our network. You get this show twice a week on the YouTube channel. It is the place where all of our video content goes. We are currently at 771 subscribers on the YouTube channel. Let's get to 800 before the end of April. We got 6 days to hit that goal to get 29 more people to subscribe. Let's keep it rolling. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get your merch at phiapparel.co. Code underground, 10% off your order. And of course, the show is presented by the City of Vineland. Whether you're a company looking to expand, relocate, or your new business startup, selecting the right location is critical to your success. Vineland, New Jersey offers both an affordable business location and an excellent quality of life. The city's economic development department is a one-stop source for moving your project through the development and approval process. And their goal is to make this process as smooth as possible and to provide the fastest turnaround times in the region. If you're considering potential locations for your operation, contact the Vineland Economic Development Team at 856-794-4100. That's 856-794-4100. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. This has been episode number 632 of Underground Sports Philadelphia. We will see you tomorrow night, or tonight if you're listening to this on Thursday, for round one of the NFL draft, reacting to all of our favorite teams' picks, especially the Birds. Go Phils. Let's go Sixers. Let's go Birds. And for Patty Pitts, I'm KB. Till next time, we're getting the heck up out of here. We will see you then. Peace. I'm looking for the people's chair.